had a decision to make. Mrs. Darrow typed my Ruth notes for me, and they're 9 pages long, so I knew that I was going to get probably about a third way into them this evening, and then we would have a missionary speaker next week, so that would be a week off again. Chapter 1 the first part of the introduction is pretty well squared away, so I am not going to be teaching on Ruth this evening. I would like a consistent number of Sunday evenings to be able to do that. So we're going to be looking at this evening the definition and purpose of the law, the definition and purpose of the law. There's a lot of confusion in relation to that. We explained some of this to the class that we had last semester relating to the Ten Commandments, and we're going to share with you this evening. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. A lot of people have a misunderstanding about the purpose of the law, and when they read about the law in the Bible, they're confused about the law. We're told that we're not under law, but we're under grace, and indeed that's true. We're not under law, but we're under grace. But is there a particular portion of the law that applies, and how does it apply? We're going to answer a number of those questions this evening. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." That verse makes it very, very clear, friends, that salvation was not something that the law could ever do. We'll explain that a little bit more. And this message is my goal to answer two questions. Number one, how is the word law used in the Bible and in the New Testament? And secondly, what was the purpose of the law? As you study through the New Testament, we're going to zero in on the New Testament mainly, it refers to the law a number of times, and it becomes very confusing because that little three-letter word, law, has a variety of different ways that it is used in the New Testament. Biblically, the word law can refer to, number one, the Word of God in general. The Word of God in general often is called in the New Testament the law, just referring to the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration. This is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21, and I would like you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and down in verse 21, it says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and with other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that will not they hear me, saith the Lord." Now, this is referring to the Old Testament in general, because this is a quote from Isaiah 28, verse 11. So, if, as a lot of times it's called the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, if it was referring to that, then somebody could say there's an error in the Bible. No, there's not. The whole Testament oftentimes is called the law. It's a general term sometimes used in that way. On occasion, it refers generally to the Word of God, particularly the Old Testament. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, that is the case. But there is a second thing, and it's commonly used this way. It refers to the Ten Commandments, which is also called the Decalogue. Dec means ten, the Decalogue. Often in the New Testament, when you see the word law used, it refers to the Ten Commandments. And an illustration of this is found in Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 13. So turn with me to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 13, we read these words, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said," and here's quoting the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not covet." So what's that talking about? Talking about one of the commandments, okay? "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. It says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now, just to make a long story short, and it's not my desire to expound completely this passage at all, but what this is talking about in Romans chapter 7, 7 through 13, is the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. One commandment is specifically pointed out. So oftentimes, when you read in your New Testament the law, it is not talking about the Old Testament in general. It's talking about the Ten Commandments specifically. I know some of this is hard, but that's why we often teach in hermeneutic class, a text without a context is a pretext. In other words, you can prove anything from the Scripture if you pull something out of context. So you got to read around the context and try and determine how the word law is used in the passage of Scripture that you are studying, that you are reading. Now, not only is the word law in the New Testament sometimes used generally of the Word of God, specifically the Old Testament, and not only sometimes does it refer to the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, but oftentimes it refers to the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Pentateuch, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. When Jews oftentimes talk about the law, that's what they're talking about. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The word Pentateuch refers to those five books in the Old Testament. And the word literally means five books. They're also called the books of Moses. Because contrary to what modern Bible scholars would have you say, Jesus Christ attributes the authorship of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to Moses. So, you know what? That settles it for me. Don't have to argue it. Don't have to defend it. The five books together are often called the Book of the Law, and they detail the Mosaic Law. There are some times when the law refers to the first five books of the Bible. An illustration of that is Genesis chapter 3, or Genesis, excuse me, Romans chapter 3, if you turn to Romans chapter 3, and verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God is without the law is manifest. It says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So it's talking about the Pentateuch and the prophets that come after that. So that passage of Scripture is returning, the law is referred to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now to compound things a little bit, there is the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law. I'm going to say a little bit about the ceremonial law. There's an increasing propensity within Christendom today to want to go back to return to being what they call Messianic Christians. Now, technically, a Messianic Christian is a Jew that's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. When they do that, there's churches now that were once Baptist churches. They're meeting on Saturday, and you know what they're doing? They're celebrating all of the feasts and all of the special days that the Jews celebrated. That isn't the way that it was in the New Testament. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all of that. But let me talk to you about the ceremonial law. Now, this is the law God gave to be followed in worshiping Him and in relating to how sacrifices were done and relating to the feasts that were being kept. An illustration of this is Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offerings. And so he's going to describe how a burnt offering is to be made. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1 uses the word law to refer to the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the thing," it says, "can never with those sacrifices," see, it's pointing back to Leviticus and the sacrifices and those things, the keeping of Passover and so on, "can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereof perfect." In other words, doing all those Old Testament things, those are all a shadow of the things to come. Jesus Christ is our atonement. And so when we celebrate the atonement, we should celebrate how that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he was buried and he rose again from the dead. So the ceremonial law, on occasion, not real often, but on occasion in the New Testament, read the context, you'll see that the use of the word law is referring to the ceremonial law and the law of offerings. And then finally, before we move on to the New Testament law, there is the civil law. Now, what is the civil law for Israelites? This is the law the Israelites were to follow day by day in their life. And in that civil law, it included dietary laws. Now, you know, I really don't care if you're a vegetarian. If you want to be a vegetarian, it is okay by me. You wouldn't want to have been in my house today because we had a nice steak for lunch. But to appease my conscience a little bit, I ate a little bit of asparagus. But anyway, I'm kind of basically a meat and potatoes guy, though I have learned to eat more fruits and vegetables, much to my chagrin. But anyhow, I do that, and I eat so much chicken, I wonder I don't cluck. But anyhow, the fact of the matter is, I just want you to understand that there's nothing holy and there's nothing spiritual necessarily about being a vegetarian isn't going to make you more holy and more spiritual. It might be good for you. Great, if you want to eat vegetables, but don't thumb your nose at me if I have a good T-bone steak, okay? Because whatsoever God has cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. It isn't going to make you more spiritual. It might make you more healthy. I'm not saying that, you know, but it's not going to make you more spiritual if you are, I think a common term used now, and it doesn't have anything to do with witchcraft, but is a vegan. You are just completely vegetarian. So that's all right. If you want to drink so much carrot juice till you turn yellow, you go right ahead. Just don't make me do it, okay? I am going to have the potassium in my coffee. All right. So anyhow, in relationship back to the civil laws, it included dietary laws, the laws on who you could associate with, who you could marry, the Jewish civil laws, the laws of conviction of someone for crime. The civil laws referred to numerous places in the New Testament. And consider what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 17. "It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." Now, where did he get that from? Well, he got that from Numbers chapter 18 and verse 21, and it's talking about the Jewish civil law. Now, it is true that originally the United States legal system was based on the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Old Testament, New Testament principles, Old Testament, New Testament teachings. Those are fine. But a lot of people don't realize that there is actually a New Testament law, a law of Christ. There really is. There's a law of Christ and the law of the Spirit. There are several instances that I'm aware of where the word law in the New Testament has no Old Testament connection whatsoever. None at all. No connection whatsoever. And the first one is Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, where is boasting then? This boasting means the source of pride. How can you be proud? You're doing all these things and you're patting yourself on your back and you're so proud and all that sort of stuff. You're only a sinner saved by grace. But let's get into the rest of the word. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay! Here it is. By the law of what? Faith. The law of faith. You see, we don't have anything to boast about because our salvation is a free gift. It has nothing to do with what we've worked at. And the law of faith has to do with salvation, which is by grace through faith plus nothing. Grace, the simple meaning, God's riches at Christ's expense. So, we function under the law of faith in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, very quickly, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, because I need to get to the second part of our message and it'll go quite quickly, so just hang in there. Galatians 6 and verse 2, we have another law. Not only do we have the law of faith and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, but we also have the law of Christ. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I could do messages on each one of those three New Testament laws, but that is not my purpose. I want to move on to the second point. What is the purpose of the law then in the Old Testament? Number one, the law defined sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. We'll do these quickly. The law defines sin. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So just again saying, the law can't save you. What the law does is it points its long, scraggly finger and says, that's sin, that's sin, that's sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Here it is. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That defines sin. All right, in the Ten Commandments. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, or that's a horrible thought. Of course the law is not sin. Nay, and we read it earlier, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. See, God gave us the law to define sin, to show us that we're sinners. The law of God is the yardstick by which we measure our behavior, and we all come short. We all come short. So, number one, law is never designed to save anybody, as we'll see in just a minute. The law defines sin. Not only does the law define sin, but I'm sure you've experienced it, I certainly have, but the law also was given to magnify the sinfulness of sin. To magnify the sinfulness of sin. You know, God wants to show us how utterly sinful we are in light of His holiness. That's what God wants to show us. We need outside help. We are totally carnal and slaves to sin before we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. This is another reason why God has given us the law. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. Because the law was given to magnify the sinfulness of sin. It says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but here it is. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, here it is, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. God gave us the law to show us that we are exceedingly sinful. The law was given to magnify sin and say, you are a sinner. Now, you might not like this either, but it's true. The law was given to provoke sin. You say, huh? Yeah? Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. You ever told your children, now, we just painted that wall. I don't want you to touch it. Daddy just put new cement sidewalk in. I don't want to see any handprints or tire prints in it. You get it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, the word abound comes from the Greek word which means increase. The fact is that knowing what we are not to do stirs up our old nature and often incites us to do what we're not supposed to do. Now, the Apostle Paul said the law in Romans 5:8, the law wrought or stirred up in me all manner of concupiscence. The word concupiscence means a longing lust, an appetite or desire for that which is forbidden. The law entices our old nature to sin, thereby proving that our old nature exists. Now, while I'm not happy to admit it, it does. It does. So, the law provokes us to sin. Finally, and we got to quit, we consider the last reason that God gave us the law. The law was given to point us to Jesus Christ. Law is given that to show us there's nothing you can do. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. You are incited to lust and to sin. You are provoked to sin. Sin is so sinful. You are stuck. Then we come to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Praise God. It says, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, the Greek word translated schoolmaster here means a boy leader. Now, what is a boy leader? The word originally referred to the slave whose duty it was to take the young child and escort that young child to school. So, this says that the law is our escort, escorting us to Christ, who is the answer. See, there's nothing the law can do to save us. It just shows us our lostness. It just shows us how sinful we are. But the law was our schoolmaster. It was our escort, bringing us to Christ and saying, there's the answer. There's the answer. Jesus is the answer. Friends, contrary to what many people have told me through the years when I go to witness to them, and I ask them if they know for sure they're going to heaven, and they say, well, I hope so. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. And I say, oh, have you kept them? Well, no. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? And their eyes go down. Have you ever not honored your father and mother? And their eyes go down. You see, James makes it very clear. Whosoever keepeth the whole law but offendeth in one point, and that's referring to the Ten Commandments. You keep nine of the Ten Commandments. You know what happens if you break one of them? You're guilty of all. You're guilty of all. So, don't misunderstand about the law. There are different applications in the New Testament referring to the law, but in relationship to this, speaking specifically of God's command, the law defines sin and shows us that we're sinners, number one. The law magnifies our sinfulness, number two. The law provokes us to sin, number three. And finally, the law was given to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, to show us we need help beyond ourselves. Then we can sing, "Free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission." Praise God for all of that. I hope that's helped you to understand the law a little bit better this evening. In closing, I'm going to close with Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Here it is, Galatians 2:16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Only way to be declared not guilty before God is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you have not ever called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, it'd be a good time this evening just to do that. I expect that probably most of you here in the evening service have done that, but I can't be presumptuous. It's possible there's somebody who hasn't. Now, you could pray and trust Christ as your Savior. You could see me or Pastor Darrell. We'd answer all your questions. Any of the deacons would, the deacons' wives, my wife, Pastor Darrell's wife. And I don't mean that to be mundane. It's the most important decision you ever make. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved, if for some reason you've been trusting in the law, saying, "I've been trying to keep the Ten Commandments," you know, jettison that. It's not going to work. The law was never given to save anybody. The law can't save anybody. It's not designed in the law. The law was saying, Jesus, 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 go to Jesus.